I'll be reading out of the New International Version. Psalms 119, verse 98 through 100. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey their precepts.
Why is the letter of 1 John in the Bible? Just listen to these verses from 1 John. In chapter 1, verse 4, John wrote, "And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full." The next chapter, verse 1, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin." Verses 7 and 8, "Brethren, I write no new commandment, but an old commandment." And then verse 8, "Again, a new commandment I write to you." Verse 21, "I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it." Verse 26, "These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you." And then chapter 5, verse 13, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe on the name of the Son of God." The Holy Spirit moved John to write what we call 1 John, that we may have fullness of joy, that we may not sin, that we may be reminded of the old covenant, or commandment, that we may be reminded of the new commandment, that we may receive more truth, that we may not be deceived by people, that we may know we have eternal life, and that we may continue to believe on the name of the Son of God. But I left out chapter 2, verses 12 through 14, which I now want to cover. With those eight that I just read, and now with the six that I'll show you, John tells us 14 times, here is why I have written this letter. In this section that I want us to look at now, three times John said, "I write to you." Three times he wrote, "I have written to you." Now, the Old and New King James versions, I use the New King James, as you probably know, have the first four, "I write to you," and the last two, "I have written to you." And that's because they're based on a certain set of Greek manuscripts that word it like that. Other translations, except the NIV, have it better. In two sets of three, "I write to you" three times. And then, "I have written to you," he says, and three times. And the New International Version completely misses this interesting change of tenses by John and just has, "I write to you," all six times. John also wrote in a pattern addressing little children, fathers, young men. And he did it again. Little children, fathers, and then the young men. What is said to the fathers and the young men, he repeated both times. Except that he added more for the young men when we look at the very last part. He wrote to the fathers that they had known him who is from the beginning. And then to the little children he wrote that they had known the Father. So now, in addition to those 8 that I read to you a few moments ago. Now let's look at 6 more reasons why 1 John is in the New Testament. Verse 12, your sins are forgiven. John wrote, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. John called all members of the church little children, as we already saw back in chapter 2, verse 1. They were not necessarily little children, but Christians who were children of God and perhaps children of John, because he probably taught them and he may have been much older than they were. Or just simply may be the fact that they were new converts. But he says their sins were forgiven for His namesake. 1 John was not written to non-Christians telling them how to be saved. This is important because people often use chapter 1, verse 9 to tell non-Christians how to be saved. Just confess your sins and invite Jesus into your heart and you're saved. But no, like I've just shown you from chapter 2, verse 12, John was not written to someone who's outside of Christ. John, 1 John was written to those who are in Christ. So back in chapter 1, verse 9, he's telling Christians, when you sin, here's what you do to deal with it. But again, John says their sins were forgiven for His name's sake. Our sins are forgiven for His name's sake. Yes, it's done for us. But it's also because of Him. In other words, forgiveness did not come through our own righteousness, nor did we do some works to earn it. But forgiveness is a gift bestowed upon us by the Father because of the work of Jesus on the cross. Forgiving sinners brings glory to God. How is that? Well, how do we treat sinners? We condemn them. God shows them mercy. And that gives glory to Him then, because He has now saved a soul. Next, in 1 John 2:13, that first sentence there, John wrote, because you know God. I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. Now, whether he's speaking of fathers literally or those with age and experience in the faith, I would tend towards that latter one. But if you go back a few verses to verses 3 and 4, John revealed how these fathers came to know Christ. He said, now by this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So these fathers were obedient to all the commandments of Jesus Christ. Now the second sentence there in verse 13. You have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. Whether young men are literally, or I think those who are young and strong in the faith, that's who he's addressing. They had overcome the wicked one. And if you have tangled with the wicked one, you know that it takes strength. Revelation chapter 12 reveals how we overcome the wicked one. You who struggle with sin, You who struggle with the devil, give ear to this declaration. Speaking about those who had overcome the devil, here's what John says in Revelation 12, verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. They washed their souls in the blood of Jesus Christ when they were baptized. And when they confessed their sins to God, as John mentioned back in that first chapter of 1 John that I made reference to earlier in verse 9. Also, Revelation here says they held on to the Word of God, even as Jesus did when the devil was tempting him in the wilderness. And they did not love their lives to the death. When it came down to, do we live? Because our enemies say, we'll allow you to live because, if you deny Christ or His Word. When it came down to, they could live by disobeying Jesus Christ, they said, we choose death. Give us a choice of life and death, and with life means denying Christ, denying His Word, disobeying Him, or being loyal to Him and continuing to obey Him, and die, we choose the latter. That's how they overcame Him. They overcame the wicked one because they learned to live their lives for Christ and not for themselves. They did not ask what they wanted out of life, but what the Lord wanted out of their lives. It was not their own desire, but the Lord's desire that they were seeking. The third sentence in 1 John 2:13, you have known the Father. I have written to you, little children, because you have known the Father. John said he had written to the little children, those new in the faith, because they had their sins forgiven for His name's sake, according to verse 12, but also because they had known the Father. And now the fathers had known Him who is from the beginning, as stated in verse 13, the first sentence there. And John wrote that the little children had known the Father also. The fathers knew the Father, and the little children knew the Father. He who knows Him who is from the beginning, that is Jesus Christ, also knows the Father. If you have the Son, you have the Father. If you have the Father, it is because you have known the Son. Some people believe that only they have obtained a level of spirituality to be in the know. However, John says that even those young in the faith can know the great Father above. Knowing the Father is not a mystical experience that only a few are privileged to know. Hear the words of 1 John 2, verses 3 and 4 again. I know I read them before, but I have to read them again. Listen to John's wording. Now by this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Who are you? Do you think you're no one? Do you think there's others who are more in the know than you are? John says, listen, if you do what the Father says, you know Him. You can't be any deeper into spirituality than that. There is much confusion about knowing God. Some people say that it's just something you feel. But brethren, we know God when we are like Him. We are like Him when we are holy. We are holy when we keep His commandments. Now soak it in. Even as you soak in the warm rays of the sun, even as the ground soaks up the rain that falls upon it, soak it in. We can know the Father. Would you dwell on that this week? And let it fill you with deep humility and high amazement that we can know, that I know the Father. The first sentence of 1 John 2:14, you have known God, that is Jesus Christ. Again, John writes, I have written to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. Now, John repeated his thought from the first line of verse 13 to emphasize the wonderful truth that we have known Him who is from the beginning. Have you ever engaged in a discussion with someone where you talk about perhaps the greatest people or the most famous people you've had a chance to meet, or maybe you've just brushed going by in the airport or something like that? Hey, no one can top knowing Him who is from the beginning. If you know Him, you know the only one who's really worth knowing. And of course, His people too. Therefore, there should not be any doubt that the fathers, that you also, had truly known Him who is from the beginning. Brethren, doesn't that fill your heart with wonder? You and God know each other. The second line of verse 14, 1 John 2:14, you are strong. Again, John wrote, I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Listen, those of you becoming stronger, the Word of God abides in you. Therefore, you have overcome the wicked one. You know the Father and the Son, but you have also overcome the ultimate force of evil, Satan. Stay strong. Grow stronger by keeping the Word of God in you. Now a little advertisement. This coming Wednesday night, I'm going to be starting a class on meditating in Scripture. I cannot think of a better way to tell you to keep the Word of God abiding in you than by meditating in it. And I want to begin a class this Wednesday night on talking about meditating in it. I'd encourage you, please, all to come. And in fact, before you come, I'd like you to put this imagery in your mind. I want you to think about eating the Bible. You probably ate breakfast before you came. You didn't just smell the food and say, man, that smells good. I hope to eat that someday. You put it in your mouth. And then it went down your throat. And now it's in, it maybe already past your stomach and going through the intestines and so on. And it's doing something. I hope to show you to do that with the Word of God. Just don't smell the Word of God. Eat it. That's what some men were told to do in the Bible. Did you know that? Well, now I'm making my advertisement longer than I wanted to, but there's three men in Scripture, two prophets and an apostle, who were told to eat this book right here. I want to help you to do that. spend the rest of the day, this day, filling your hearts with the wonders of the knowledge and experiences of this text, you will never be the same. Christian, you have experienced the forgiveness of your sins, the power of overcoming the wicked one, the strength of walking in the light, and the Word of God abides in you. And a second time, John said, you have overcome the wicked one. Christian, you know Him, the Son of God, who is from the beginning, and you know the Father. And again, John wrote that you know Him who is from the beginning. To all who do not have your sins forgiven, who have not overcome the wicked one, we pour our hearts out to you, that you walk in the light and take in the Word of God. To all who do not know the Son of God, who do not know the Father, we pour our hearts out to you, that you know them by obeying them. Obey their commandments right now, starting with baptism. If you're at that point, come forward right now as we stand and sing.